welcome to Prayer of Faith this morning. I'm glad you're here. Man, today we're going to be talking about wine. And not W-H-I-N-E, where we're whining and complaining, but I'm talking about W-I-N-E, wine. Preparing for new wine. Well, a few weeks ago, I talked about us being seekers. And I thought, God asks us to do certain things, and he tells us to pursue him and seek him diligently and with all our heart. And there's all these different sayings through the Old and New Testament about seeking him. And today, I just want to help follow up on that. And I want to help us on how to prepare as we become seekers. And that's today's message, preparing for the new wine. So turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 3. That's where we'll start today. And as you're turning to Proverbs chapter 3, let's just see how our vocal cords are doing. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice and be glad.
All right. Got our vocal cords warmed up. Let's try that once more now that we're warmed up. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice and be glad.
Sometimes we just have to be encouraged to look at things a little more exciting. Or look at them with a little more excitement, right? So that's why every now and then I have you repeat that, just so we can give it a little extra gusto, you know? Well, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 through 12, and then we'll hit 23 and 24. And this is interesting. My heading says, guidance for young people. All you old people, don't think this doesn't pertain to you as well, though. Okay, this is just guidance for young, but it applies to old as well. And it says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Could you give me some water, please? Thank you. 2 weeks ago, I struggled. It was 3 minutes before I had to come up and preach, and all of a sudden my voice dropped down to this low range, and I thought, what? I'm like, oh, and the Lord said. And then a minute after we were done with praise and worship at the end of service, my voice was back to normal. I thought, what was going on? So I'm not going to risk it today. Sorry for the interruption. Get a little water. But it says, and peace they will add to you. That is great to know that we have peace that is coming to us when we do these things. Thank you, Spencer. That's what happens when you get excited also and start raising your voice. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. But this is what I like. And Kisha read this earlier, and she didn't know I was going to read it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Oh, my goodness, I don't have to worry about setting my own path. It says he will direct my path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. And I love this portion, but I want to read also verse 23 and 24. And it says, then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. You don't have to lay down and be afraid anymore. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Who could use some sweet sleep? Man, this tells us how to get that and how to receive that. But I want to get back to this. It says, as you seek him, he will guide your steps and direct your path. And it also says you will have peace. Verse 2, and peace they will add to you. Now that's when we keep his commandments. You know, we think, oh God, just give me peace. You're the Prince of Peace. Why don't I have peace? Well, there's things that can increase our peace. And this is one of them. Do not let your heart, but let your heart keep my commands for length of days and long life, and peace will be added to you. So he can increase our peace based on what we do. Then you will walk safely in your way and your foot will not stumble. You will lie down and you won't be afraid. You don't have to lie down in fear anymore. And you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. I love that. Thank you, Lord, for giving us sweet sleep. Says, but verse 10. So your barns will be filled with plenty. And your vats will overflow with new wine. And I love that. In the Old Testament, it talks about new wine. And the new wine being a symbol usually of blessing and prosperity. And God says, man, when you do these things, I pray that you will have new wine and your barns will be filled. But it's blessing and prosperity and growth. It's not something that says, if you do these things, you'll get this automatically. It's not those type of things. But he says, when you do these, I will bless you with these things. Now turn in your Bibles to Matthew, the New Testament, Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, and this is also found in Luke chapter 5, the same thing, but we're just going to read it out of Matthew chapter 9, verse 1 through 17. And it says, so we got into a boat. I better get the right spot. Is that, I said 1 through 17. Sorry, 14, Joshua, sorry. Then the disciples of John came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Now listen to this. In verse 16, we've read this before, and it says, no one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and the tear is made even worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Now, I love this when it talks about this. And again, the message in Luke chapter 5 says the same thing. It adds just a little bit more in there at the end of that. But it says we're not going to take new wine and put it in an old wineskin. Why not? It'll explode. It won't take it. And it's all wasted. The wine is then spilled. The old wine skin is broken. And nothing's able to be saved there. It says, only will you take the new wine and put it into a new wineskin. Now, I love that in the New Testament when we talk about new wineskin. What does that represent? It represents multiple things. New wine could be the covenant with Jesus, covenants that he makes with us. There's a fresh start when he talks about that. It could be a spiritual transformation. It can be the Holy Spirit moving in our life. Or it could represent joy and celebration as in the wedding of Cana. When Jesus turned water into wine and they had the new wine and the good wine. That's the part that Luke chapter 5 adds. It says, no one drinks old wine and says, let me have some more of the old wine. They want the new wine. New wine represents fresh. It's the freshest. Man, when we talk about seeking God in 2026, and having a faith that sticks in 26, we have to prepare. We can't say, Lord, I'm going to seek you, and I have this new transformation. Pour this new wine, this transformation, into this old wineskin. It's not going to work. So now we've got to prepare for the new wine. Oh, Lordy. Does that mean you're going to tell me that I have to change myself because I'm the old wineskin? Of course. Of course that's what it means. As you seek him and find him, the new wine is his new teaching, or your new life in him and his teachings and how they open up to you. They won't fit into your old wineskin or your old rigid structure sometimes. That can come from a lot of things. It could come from no church. It could come from different churches. It can come from different denominations. That rigid stuff can come from a lot of different places. But when we talk about us being the wineskin in our new transformation, we can't put it in our old rigid structure, the old wineskin, or the old laws, our old ways, our old attitudes, our old will, which was our will. And now we've got to seek God's will. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you. So long as you've got a new wineskin and can handle that stuff, absolutely. So when we look at seeking him this year, we have to change the old wineskins for new in order for it to be beneficial. What does that mean? New hearts. Our hearts may have to be transitioned and changed. Listen carefully, church. Our hearts may have to be healed from old hurts. Loved ones, jobs that abandon us, family that abandon us, illnesses, our hearts are hurting. And part of our new wineskin is having healed hearts, new hearts opened up to healing, to allowing God to put new skin on our hearts. Not a hardened heart, but a soft heart, soft skin, baby skin. New attitudes. Our old wineskin could be our old attitude. Well, what does that mean? That means we have to change into a new wineskin, a new attitude, possibly an attitude that has, listen carefully, new tolerances for people that think or see things differently than we do. Now, we have to stay true to the Bible. Okay, so I'm not talking about varying from this. I'm never talking about varying from the Bible and God's Word. But I'm talking about just differences of opinions and seeing things differently. Our attitudes. Oh, that could tie in very well to our hardened hearts sometimes. Our attitudes could be tied to a hardened heart because of hurt. But I love this one. The new wineskin of new opportunities to serve. Oh, how appropriate on a ministry meeting day. But I'm not just talking about at church. I'm talking about serving God's kingdom. Okay? Now, yes, that's definitely in the church. How can you serve the church better? How can you be a servant here? But how can you be a servant outside of these four walls to people you come in contact with, to different groups and organizations? Oh, man, new wineskin and new opportunities to serve means new openness and new boldness. New boldness and openness to what? To be used. Lord, make me an instrument. Lord, make me an instrument. Make me whatever you want me to be. It says he'll guide our paths. And he'll make sure that we do not stumble when we walk that path. New opportunities means opening ourselves up to boldness, to step into areas we're not comfortable with, to being open to being used. Well, I've been hurt in the past, and so I just stay pretty close to those opportunities because I don't want to be hurt. These things keep tying back to a hurt heart and a healing heart. And God wants our heart to be whole and complete. And he wants it to be healed. I knew a guy that was born with this little deformity in his leg and his feet. And in his college years, he walked poorly. And his brother said that's because he's lazy, because he had things to do all his life that he was supposed to do that he wouldn't do. And so he wasn't able to be healed of that, and he could have been, but he didn't do it. Our broken hearts can be the same. I know people whose hearts could be healed and repaired, but they weren't open to it. They weren't open to it. They wouldn't receive God's word. They wouldn't receive a pastor's word. They wouldn't receive a friend's word, a family member's word. They wouldn't receive it. And they go through life with a hurt heart and a damaged heart that could be healed. You know, when we lose loved ones, it hurts. And those holes will never be filled. But let me tell you, we can walk around with joy. We were singing a little song during practice today, just a little bit. And I was playing an old hymn, and Kish was singing. I said, boy, I can hear my dad's voice clearly through that song. There's only a few songs I can hear his booming voice singing that. And I thought, man, there's a hole in my heart that will never be filled when my father passed away. But I thought, I have such great joy in the memories and the things that he taught me and showed me. And I thought, we'll still go through where there's some damage, but we can have a heart that is healed and that is recovering and that is stronger than it was before. How? God allows that. Church, when he says, I want to pour in this new wine. I want to give you. I came that you can have life and have it more abundantly. I want you to have the new wine. But he says, you have to be a new wineskin for me to pour into you. A lot of times we say, Lord, I'm open. Pour into me. I don't like that wine. No, not that wine. No, I like such and such. And we start being particular about what we want him to pour into us with. Red wine, please. White wine only. And we start saying, God, pour into me, but don't pour that into me. Because see, my time is precious right now, Lord. So please don't pour that into me. Because that'll take even more of my time. More of my time to what? To do kingdom work, Lord. I want to do it, but can I pick it and pick how often I do it and how much I do? Is it not true? Sometimes we want to pick and choose. Lord, use me, but use me in this way. God, I want a new heart. That's my new wineskin. God, I want a new attitude. That is part of my new wineskin. God, I want to see new opportunities for myself. That is a new wineskin. It's fresh. It's new. Now, I think we asked a couple weeks ago. Kisha might have asked. And then I mentioned it. Man, who wants 2026 to be better than it was in 2025? Most of us did. Most of us said, yeah, that 2025 was a rough one for some reason. But God is still here. He is the Lord God Almighty, and he reigns still today. Just like he did in 2025. But God, I want something new for myself in 2026. I want it to be different. I want it to be changed. God, I want to be used. But I want to let you tell me, God, how you're going to use me. Oh, Lord, that's so tough, because you know what he says. Okay, we're always afraid of that answer, where he's going to send us and what he's going to send us into. I've told the story before. I said, God, use me. I'm sorry, cover children's ministry for a couple months. What? King's kids, what? I studied, I prepared. Okay, man coming through the roof, got my G.I. Joe. I'm going to lower him down through string through the ceiling tiles. He's coming down. That's the lesson we're doing. 7:02 on a Wednesday night. Nobody. 7:10 on that same night. And they come in your room by mistake. 7:15. Hey, Eric, mind if I join the adult Bible study? There's no kids. The next Wednesday, same thing. I'm going to the Midwest City Free Methodist Church, see what they do on Wednesday nights. And I left. Church, it was the third week. Nobody showed up. I thought, God, I guess you're telling me I'm not fit for kids. And the third week, nobody showed up. Hey, Eric, come on. Join your Wednesday night Bible study again. And the fourth week, here come five kids. Where have you guys been? Well, we were getting ready for spring break. Then it was spring break. Then we had a lot of homework after spring break. I thought, oh, thank goodness. And then we had a new family come and bring some kids. I said, oh, it's growing. And then next thing you know, going from one to three on a Wednesday night. Well, none to three on a Wednesday night. Then it grew into 13 on a Wednesday night. I was finally able to lower that G.I. Joe through the roof for that lesson. And then we went outside the parking lot and we did a lesson on running our race. And who was fastest here, but who could go further here. And I said, each one of us has our own race to run. And it doesn't matter if they beat us in this race, because we're not running that race. And we're not on the same track. We're running this race. We have to remember that same lesson. Then we talked about Saul's conversion. And can you guys understand where there was a bad guy and a good guy? But let me tell you, young kids could get into wrestling. Okay, remember when Hulk Hogan used to be a bad guy and then he turned into a good guy? And I got into some wrestling people that were good and bad and good and bad. They went back and forth. And we talked about that in ways that hopefully connected with those kids that they could grasp. And I've shared this, but I think it's important because it talks about us being open to things. And then I did the lesson on the blessing. I wrote $1 on these pieces of paper. Or I said there was a blessing for each person, sorry. And I wrote yes on several pieces of paper, counted how many kids. There's 12 kids. Okay, great. 11 pieces of paper said yes. One piece of paper said no. And I went around, each person said yes. I said, okay. There's $1 for you. These are prayer requests. Now you have a prayer request. What's your answer? And they'd reach into the hat. Yes, here's your $1. And each kid got $1. Except the last person. Okay, and what does your prayer request say? It says no. Oh. Kids start going, you can have my $1. Sweetest thing I ever saw. Hold on to that thought, it gets worse. And then I said, don't give up on praying. You continue to pray year after year after year. Now let me ask you, God told you no, and what is his answer right now? Oh, it's yes. I said, okay. You get $10. And those same kids said, you can have my $1. I said, that's not fair. We only got $1. I said, now wait a minute. I was prepared for that. I said, wait a minute. You guys were thrilled with that $1 when I first gave it to you. we can be thrilled with our blessings. But then all of a sudden it becomes a little stagnant. And we become a little insensitive to what's going on around us. And then all of a sudden someone has this great blessing. We're like, that's not fair. They've been in this church for a month and look at that blessing they got. I've been coming for 30 years. God, where's my blessing? That's not fair. He said, wait a minute. You were thrilled when I blessed you with this. But now because they have that, you want that, and you're no longer satisfied with this. That's the old wineskin talking. God, I have just become numb to what's going on around me. Man, we need a new fire and a new passion. God, please restore that burning fire that I once had when I first knew you. God, I don't want to be stagnant in 2026. I want to burn with passion. God, I want you to use me as an instrument for your kingdom. To do what? To do whatever, God. I want to be used for kingdom work. And I want to do your will, no longer mine. That's new wineskin thinking and talking. God, I have to get rid of the old ways. And the old ways weren't bad, but I've been doing this long enough. My understanding, wisdom, and knowledge of your word should be greater. And so I should be further along in my journey and path than I was. I should be further this year than I was last year. I should have opened this up more than I did the previous year. I should apply this in greater ways and depths and seek opportunities to utilize this and to live this out than I did last year. You know, the new wineskin represents the freshness, like I said. It's the new stuff. It's the freshest. It's a harvest. It's plenty. New wine represents overflow. Amos spoke of it in chapter 9. Amos chapter 9, verse 13 and 14. You don't have to turn there. But it says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him who sows seed. Now listen to this. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. And I love that it says, I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. And they shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. He says, I want it to overflow. There's fixing to be a harvest, church. And we have to be prepared for it. We can't be the fruit that goes by the wayside. We can't be the branches that he says, I have to prune you and cast you aside. I need a newness, God, in me. I want a newness in this church. I want a freshness. I want the new stuff, but I want a new attitude, God. And I want a new heart, God. And I want you to change me. I want to look for new opportunities, God, to be used. God, use me as an instrument for your kingdom work. Send me out into the fields so that I can be a part of the harvest. God's word tells us someone will plant, someone will water, and someone will harvest. This church this year is celebrating 40 years. And somebody planted that is no longer here, and somebody watered that is no longer here, and people have harvested that are no longer here. But it continues today. We continue to plant, or we should continue to plant to be here tomorrow. We continue to water, and we continue to harvest. The mountain shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. As we seek him this year, we have to prepare for him to pour into us his new wine by creating a new wineskin for ourselves. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. God, I thank you for your Old and New Testament lessons on new wine. God, I pray today that we understand the significance of new wine, what that means for us. God, how we can be used for kingdom work. God, I pray today that we open ourselves up, that our hearts, we open ourselves up to our hearts being healed. God, that we open ourselves up to new opportunities, to our attitudes being changed, and for you to use us in a great and mighty way. God, there is a harvest coming. There are people seeking. Help us to be open to that. Help us be seekers as well, to continue to push and press towards you. God, help me to press towards the hem of your garment. God, where I can touch it. And you feel the power leaving as I feel the power coming. God, help me today to be open to new wine by being a new wineskin. In Jesus' name, amen.